Well, good morning. Welcome to Clay Fellowship Church. Isn't it a good day to swim to church? We're having quite a bit of rain and, flooding situation. And totally understand people who decided to not try to get out in it and are watching us on Facebook. But it is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. It's always a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my Savior, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. I will give thanks to you among the nations, Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. May we sing praises to his name this morning as we call upon him. We're going to sing, it's hymn number 56, I Will Call Upon the Lord, and the words will be on the screen. You're welcome to stand, you're welcome to remain seated, but let's just sing praises to him and call on his name this morning as we begin our service.
Stacy.
Yes.
If you have your hymn books, you sing the left page twice and then the right page twice.
Yes.
Okay.
Take a big breath. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Brother Fred, would you open us in prayer this morning?
Yes. Father, we want to just thank you today for allowing us to come. Lord, let us share our hearts with each other and with you. Lord, we thank you for your protection through the night. Lord, we thank you for being with us, Lord. Just all that you do for us, Lord, we just can't ever thank you enough for being with us and walking with us, Lord, in the valleys and shouting with us on the mountaintops. Lord, we thank you for all of it. Lord, today, may your Holy Spirit come in this place. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered together, you would be in their midst. Lord, we got more than two or three, not much more, but we got more this morning. Lord, come and be in our midst today. Lord, just touch our hearts, touch our lives today, that we may be challenged to be your people in this place for this time. Lord, may everything we do, every song we sing, prayer we utter, word that we speak, be for the honor and glory of your Son Jesus. Because it's in his name that I pray this morning. Amen and amen.
Well, in Deuteronomy, Moses is giving God's people God's commands and instructions on how to live as his nation. Deuteronomy 11:22, if you carefully observe all these commands I'm giving you to follow, to love your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him. I really like that phrase, hold fast to him. The next hymn we're going to sing, which again I had picked out Friday, but then I found these verses this morning to go with it. Trust and obey. Walk in obedience to Him and hold Him fast, to trust Him. He is trustworthy, and He is... it's good to follow Him. He is worth following. There, that's the phrase I was looking for. He is worth following, and He is worth our trust and our obedience. So we're going to sing Trust and Obey. It's hymn number 437. We're going to sing the first, third, fourth, and fifth verses. The words will be on the screen. Again, you're welcome to stand. You're welcome to remain seated. But let's just remind ourselves, to be happy in Jesus, we have to trust and obey. Announcements this week. Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m. our breakfast group meets at the Jacks in Trustville on Deerfoot Parkway and Highway 11. Wednesday night is our Bible study at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. On Sunday mornings, we do have our Sunday school at 10 a.m. and a worship service at 11 here in the Worship Center. Coming up Thursday, April 17th, will be our Maundy Thursday service at 6:30 p.m. here in the Worship Center. We will, after the service, have a gathering, gather together in the Fellowship Hall for dessert and fellowship. Our next game night will be Friday, May 16th, and that'll be at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. We do have some opportunities to serve and help our community. One is through Three Hots and a Cot, collecting items that they typically use and need. There's a list on the back information table, and there is also a collection box in the back to bring items to help support them. We also support our community through our food pantry. There is a list, again, on the information table of the items we provide, and a box in the back to bring items to that we distribute to those who participate in our food pantry. Also on the back information table, we have our upper rooms that are there for you. They're free for you to take for and use for daily devotionals. We do have another mission outreach opportunity through Brother Fred's son, Richard. He'll be leading a short-term mission trip to Jamaica. That's July 19th through 26th. We can support him through praying. If you're interested in going, I know Brother Fred will be happy to give you information on how to get in touch with Richard. And by financial means, I'm sure Brother Fred can get us in touch, too, with how to support financially. But absolutely through our prayers. On Fridays, our announcements and prayer list are sent out through email. I did remember to do it this week, so hopefully you got the email. Yeah. If you're not receiving the emails, or if there's anything you would like to add or change, just let Cindy know. You can leave a message on the voice machine. You can email clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com, or you can just let Cindy know. Send her a text. Let's spend a little time in prayer this morning, thanking God for his resources that he provides us, thanking God for his protection, thanking God for who he is and what he does in our lives, and also lifting those that are on our hearts and on our prayer list before him. So if you would, just spend a few moments in prayer. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You are our everlasting God, our mighty rock, our strong tower. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of all praise, worthy of our praise. We bring you our sacrifices of praise, our tithes and our offerings. May your name be lifted high and glorified in your church and in our lives. May your light shine through your people, and may your kingdom increase. Lord, we lay our burdens at your feet. Those who are heavy on our hearts that need you, need your intervention, need you in their lives, need your touch to restore their health. Lord, those who just need your presence, we lift them up to you. You know the needs, you know the situations, and you know the desires of our heart, Lord. We place them in your mighty hands, and we just look forward in expectation to see how you move in all of these situations. And Lord, the glory only be given to you. If you'll join me in closing our prayer, saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And all of God's people say, Amen. Our next hymn this morning is Seek Ye First, hymn 90. When Brother Fred starts his sermon in the scripture, you'll understand why this song was on my mind. But if you're willing and able, let's stand and sing Seek Ye First. It's hymn number 90, and we're going to sing both verses.
God and his right.
season, seek him first. Amen. You may be seated.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Well, I want to thank you all for your prayers this week. Been a rough week. I've been at the hospital with surgery and then back again with dying and all this low oxygen saturation. So thank you so much. Your prayers, your calls, your letter, your emails and text, they have been appreciated so much, so much. She's doing a little better. She's still not out of the woods in terms of her thinking. She's still real, real foggy. She still thinks she's in the basement of University Hospital in the morgue, and she doesn't know why she's there. So pray that her mind will adjust and it'll be back. We think it's just because of the low oxygen, but we'll see. God's good, isn't he? He's going to take care of us. I want to show you a little film about the work that Richard is doing in Jamaica. I want to show you about Miss Patsy. She cooks along with some of her friends, and I was telling Stacy, for $100 they can feed 100 people for a month there in Jamaica. Can we show that, buddy? This is Miss Patsy and her friends cooking. Now, these are all shut-ins,
hi guys,
people that are sick.
Welcome to another.
And can't get out, so they take the food to them.
I hope you're all doing well. Here we are today at the soup kitchen, guys.
And that's Miss Patsy in the pink.
Follow me and let me show you what we are doing. We are doing
pumpkin porridge. Well, they're all wearing pink, aren't they?
This morning. This guy, let me show you.
Come in.
This guy. Yes,
let's go, let's go.
Let me show you guys. Yes, there's a pot of plantain and cornmeal there. Yes, guys. Where is it? And there's another pot of...
A friend of mine works for the health department. I'm going to see in this video.
And oatmeal, guys. Yes, guys. Yes, guys. Sister Andrea, packing the box this morning. Yes, guys. This is Sister Andrea.
And every day they just gather and cook, and then they all carry the food out to the people. Isn't that something?
Yes, guys. This is... Yes, guys. Sahan, Sister Vary, helping this morning.
I wish you could hear them talk. I love to just sit and hear them talk, that Jamaican talk.
Thank you, guys, for all the love. We thank you for your donation, your prayers, and everything, guys. Yes, guys, we have a new stove here this morning. Yes, guys. So this is it. This is it, guys. Sister Patsy is out of here. Hi.
Pray for them. Pray for them. Miss Patsy and her friends and all they do. They just come and have a social time together and do this good work for the Lord. Thankful for people like that. Today, we're back in Matthew chapter 6. Through the years, I've had people come to my office for personal counseling. They'll be having a situation that they're working through, and they want to talk about it, and they want to get maybe my advice and hopefully my help or God's help. And sometimes I ask them, well, how are you praying through your situation? And more than once, I hate to say, I've had them say to me, oh, I tried that, preacher. Prayer just doesn't seem to work for me. Then they would begin to describe to me how they prayed for whatever their situation was. They prayed for the healing or changing their circumstance or change it to somebody, you know, somebody had a bad attitude and wanted that attitude to change, or person's heart to change, or whatever. So after a while, and they said nothing happened. They felt like their prayers were just bouncing off the ceiling. And some of them kept it up for a while, but when nothing changed, they gave up. They thought the problem was prayer. But it wasn't working for them, so they gave up. But not all praying. They still prayed some, you know. I'm sure they maybe said grace at the table, and when they were in maybe Sunday school or someplace else, they'd say a prayer, you know. Maybe even if they're called upon in church, they prayed. But not beyond that. And I would respond in this way. Well, listen to me. Maybe, perhaps, you're praying in the wrong way. Maybe you're using prayer the way God didn't intend it to work. You see, God designed prayer to work in a certain way. We have to use prayer the way it was designed to work. We need to pray the way God tells us to. Well, Brother Fred, how is that? Well, this morning, I want to welcome you to class. But I'm not going to be the teacher today. It's going to be Jesus. I'm going to let Jesus teach us today how we to pray. How we are to pray God's way. And we're going to take this from this Matthew scripture. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. Here, Jesus is going to walk us through two ways of praying that never work. And then he's going to walk us through the way that will always work. Now, are any of you interested in knowing the way to pray? Praying and having your prayers answered? I am. So, let's look at verse 5 there in the 6th chapter of Matthew. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So, the first way to pray that doesn't work, according to Jesus, is prayer that is full of religious hypocrisy. Now, I realize I'm not losing my mind today, but I realize we talked about this at great lengths last week. I'm not going to repeat everything we talked about last week. But what Jesus is doing, he's calling out religious people who always seem to find a way to get themselves into the spotlight. Remember? Hypocrites. They give with fanfare from last week. They fast in order to be noticed. And they pray for people to see them. Jesus calls this kind of religious performance hypocrisy. And he called those scribes and Pharisees, "You hypocrites." And we said he used a word that was taken from Greek theater. It simply meant to that day actor or performer, a person who wore a mask and performed. Jesus says religious people too can wear a mask. They also can play a part. They can pretend to be something they really not. And he's saying that when we're actors, when we use prayer not to seek the face of God, but to impress other people, that's wrong. That's the wrong way to pray. When we use prayer not as a means of a relationship with God, but as one of our strategies to show off and be seen by people, that's prayer doing it the wrong way. Now, many of us here grew up in the South, where religion has always been a dominant social force. And we understand the pressure of religious performance, don't we? We expected to participate in religious activities. Some people do it to earn a place in their community. We realized how much pressure it is. Often, the way we dress, the way we speak, the way we behave in church, that can lead to what Jesus is talking about here. Sort of religious play acting. Maybe you didn't know you've worn a mask before. Performing for others. We know a lot of people on television that claim to be religious, putting on a show, aren't they? But then when you do that, our prayers are not about seeking the face of God. Those kind of prayers are about seeking the approval of people. We're praying not with our eyes on God, but with our eyes on others. How do you know if you've fallen into that kind of trap? Well, Jesus says in his own way, look, the problem is there's no secret prayer in your life. It's one thing to stand up in front of people, pray and use all those fancy theological words when you're called on to pray. But if there's no private prayer, if there's no seeking of the Lord when no one else is looking, then you might be doing it for others and not Him. When it's just you and God, prayer gets powerful. Jesus is warning them, and he's warning us, beware of the kind of prayer that is eager to be prayed in public when you're unmotivated to pray in private. It might just be that you're wearing a mask and nothing more. Also, prayer that uses God for you to look good before others, that will never work either. That's the bottom line. God doesn't respond to hypocritical prayer. Jesus said, they have received their reward in full. Because using prayer this way is not the way prayer was designed to work. Prayer is all about seeking God. It's about relationship with Him. It's about cultivating that relationship. The relationship with the Most High God. Opening your hearts and your mind so that you can truly connect with Him. That's what prayer's for. But when we turn it into a thing that's simply religious performance, trying to look good in front of people, it's no longer about God. It's about you trying to be popular. Your popularity with other people. Now, ladies, imagine with me. You're in high school, and the guy of your dreams invites you to the dance. You with me? And you think, oh, he really likes me. And you say, yes, I'll go. And then he says, oh, I'm so glad you said yes, because I really didn't want to go to the dance alone, and none of the other girls would go with me. I didn't want to look like a loser. How would you feel? Offended, right? You'd be offended because he wasn't interested in you. He was just using you to look good in front of his friends. You're just his arm candy. Bet you never thought you'd hear that phrase in my sermon, would you? But we can do the same thing with God. God says, I'm not going to let you use me so you can look good in front of your friends. If it's me you want, I'm all in. But I'm not going to let you use me for your selfish desires. Now, would you want to be used like that? Well, God doesn't want to be either. Prayer like that never works. So that's the first way that Jesus is saying it doesn't work. When we pray to be seen by others, looking good in other people's eyes. The second way that doesn't work is when we're selfish. Thinking about and concerned only with ourselves. Look at verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He says, the second way I don't want you to pray is like the Gentiles. First he said, I don't want you to pray like the Pharisees. Now he's saying, I don't want you to pray like the Gentiles. It won't work either. Now, Gentile there, it's the Greek word ethne, E-T-H-N-E, means pagan, non-Jewish, people who obviously were far from God and didn't follow Jewish tradition. Their prayers, Jesus says, are full of repetition, pleading, flattery. Not say they were well-oiled plays. They were rehearsed. They have many words. That's called a torrent of words. You might think of torrent, a magical formula. Maybe a secret incantation. Or, in those days, a shamanistic ritual. But, folks, it's not torrential rain he's talking about. It's torrential prayer. A deluge of all your words that you think God can't even resist this. It just might work. If we can find the right combination of those magic words, if we could just crack the code, press the right button, I think some people think God's a giant vending machine. You want the candy and the chips. You're looking for the right combination so you can get what you want. This kind of prayer tries to manipulate God, to win him over, wear him down so you can get your blessings. Whatever it takes. Beg, plead, bargain, flatter, whatever. I'll say anything if I can just get God to give me what I want. Folks, there's people like that. And Jesus says, beware. Beware of this kind of prayer. The kind of prayer that tries to manipulate God in order to get his blessings. It's a prayer that aims not to get more of God. It aims to get more of God's stuff. Prayer that's used to get more of God's stuff doesn't work. It never works. Because we're not using prayer the right way, the way it was designed. And change us into the person that he wants us to be. But when we twist prayer into this mechanical, magical incantation formula so that you can manipulate God to get his blessings and stuff, it's wrong. It'll never work. Because it's not about getting more of God. It's about getting more from God. Okay, guys, it's your turn. Imagine you're in high school too, and you're madly in love with this young lady, and you decide to get engaged. You're all excited about planning your wedding. And you have some significant family wealth. I mean significant. Okay? Big bucks. And during the planning process of your wedding, your fiance learns that your family's wealth is tied up in a trust in such a way that she can't get her hands on the money. So she dumps you. Men, how do you feel about that? You feel used? Abandoned? Because you find out she wasn't after you at all. She was after your stuff. She didn't love you. She was just a gold digger. And there's another word you probably didn't think I'd use either. Remember, God says, I am not going to let you use me just to get my stuff. And I can tell when you really just want my blessings and not me. You want health, wealth, comfort, ease, happiness, healing, all these things, but you don't want me. But he says, if it's me you want, I'm all in. But I'm not going to let you just use me. Does anybody here like to be used? Well, God doesn't either. And prayer will not work like that. Prayer doesn't work when we perform for others. And it doesn't work when we're selfish, all about us. Well, how does prayer work? Well, it works like this. When we're praying to and for our Father, when we're looking to Him and Him alone, folks, that's when prayer works. Then it was like Jesus said, okay, allow me to show you. And then he says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now we're going to have a chance to walk through this entire Lord's Prayer after Easter. We're going to have Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. Going to take a break from the Sermon on the Mount. But now today, I want you to see this third way of prayer. Jesus is giving us the way to pray. And that's different from the prayers of the hypocrites and the Gentiles. This prayer is like the prayer of a child. It's prayer that pursues our Father with childlike trust, with childlike intimacy, and with childlike surrender. Those kinds of prayers, they'll always be answered. Just look at what Jesus said. Our Father, which art in heaven. Did you realize Jesus was the first person in the Bible to address God as our Father? The first one. This was a radical breakthrough. But it's not just Jesus. Yes, he's truly the Son of God. But he's not the only one who's allowed to pray this way. Jesus is teaching us as believers to pray this way as well. His disciples, he was teaching them to pray this way. Our Father. How can he do that? Because John's gospel says, to all who received him, to all who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? It's as if Jesus is saying, my coming has ushered in a whole new closeness between us and God. And it's all happening because I came. Think about how different this prayer would have been if Jesus had said, pray like this: our Creator, which art in heaven. Or maybe, our Master, who art in heaven. Now, I realize both of those are true. But Jesus intentionally, remember how he likes to shock people in the Sermon on the Mount? Well, I think he wanted to shock his audience by saying, our Father. When I see this, I just picture a little child running across the room to their father to jump up on his lap and in his arms. And Jesus says, pray like that. Pray looking to our Father as a child, not looking to others as the hypocrites and the Gentiles, using God to get stuff. But pursue Him like a child. Seek that trust. Seek that intimacy. And be surrendered to your Father. Folks, this was a big difference for them. The heart of a child who knows that he or she is loved, has a loving father, who all he wants to do is be close to us, be trusted, and make me holy in the process. May I be wholly devoted to you. May I be full of the trust that you desire. May I be obedient to you. May I worship you with my mind, my body, and my spirit. Can you see that this morning? To me, it's beautiful what God desires of us and for us. Then he goes on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingly, heavenly reign be over all things in your created world, including me, including my life. Because God, you are my king. I'm here at your service. Oh, and also that everything might be brought under your rule, and your will be done over the whole earth. Wouldn't that be great? As it is in heaven. Have your way, Lord, in this world, and have your way in me. Like Jesus prayed at Gethsemane, not your will. Not my will. Excuse me, I got it backwards, didn't I? Big mistake. Not my will, but your will be done. Prayer in this way is less about conforming to God to what I want. It's more about me conforming myself to what God wants. Then he says, give us this day our daily bread. He knows we're needy. Folks, we're desperate. And he's the only one that can provide us with our needs. Please, the Lord, give us what we need when we need it. He says, I know exactly what you need before you even ask. Then he says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You know, another translation says trespasses. Every relationship on earth and in heaven sometimes needs forgiveness. Because daily, maybe even hourly, maybe even by the minute for some of us, we fall short of the glory of God. And because of that, we should cherish this relationship that He's offering us in Him. Also a relationship He wants us to have with other believers, with each other. Because He said, Jesus said Himself, you can't love God and hate your brother. Then He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, this is getting in shouting territory, folks. We know this world is full of temptation. It's full of tests. All of them aren't from the Lord. It's full of traps. It's full of things that can take us down. And folks, when it comes to Satan and all of his forces, we're weak. And we need to ask God to protect us from those things that might wreck our lives. But if Satan does come against us, if things do come upon us, we can pray to our Father, Lord, protect us, preserve us, and lead us to safety. Amen. So the evil does not take us down. It's such a simple prayer. There's no guile, hypocrisy. There's no magic words or formulas. In fact, one of the abuses I've seen in church is that we've turned the Lord's Prayer almost into a ritual. Or maybe even we turn it into a formula to try to get stuff, when it should be a prayer rising from the heart. The heart like a child who simply knows that we have a Father that loves us and only wants good for us. And He's watching over us. Our eyes should not be on others, trying to look good in front of them. Our eyes should not be on ourselves, just trying to get God's stuff. You see, our eyes should be on our Father, pursuing that childlike faith and trust that only can be achieved through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, how is this possible, preacher? Well, folks, the only reason we can pray like a child in this way is because Jesus has made you who believe today a child of God. Amen? The only way we can come before our Father in confidence, in this intimacy, in this closeness, it's because of Jesus. He has made us right with God. He's taken away our sin. He's taken away our shame when He shed His precious blood on that cross 2,000 years ago. He's reconciled humanity, all those who will believe, to His Father. He has filled us with His very own Spirit. And we can cry out like a child, Abba, Father, Daddy, I'm here. It's the reason we're children of God. It's the reason we can come before the throne of God as children. It's all because of Jesus. Because He says, unless you become as a child, you cannot what? Enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, over in the 7th chapter, I think I called your attention to this in the earlier sermon, where Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, is going to be opened. Which one are you? Are you asking, seeking, or knocking? I want to do all three. Not because I want God's stuff, because I want to be close to Him. You've been made a son or a daughter of the Most High God through the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ. Through your faith in Him, by grace through faith, you're now an heir of heaven. We have a Father who loves us. And folks, He loves to give you good gifts. He does. But Jesus does not say that He's going to give us everything we ask for every time. You know, I don't think any father worth his salt would give his kids everything they ask for. Even on Halloween and Easter, I wouldn't let my kids eat all the candy they wanted to. Right? So everything we ask, there should be a caveat to that request. What it should be? Not my will. But yours be done, Lord. I know. I trust that you know what's best for me. Do you really? Do you really trust that God knows what's best? Or do you think you know what's best for yourself? So our prayers are not going to always be answers. Sometimes He says yes immediately, and we're excited. Because our prayer gets answered. But sometimes He says no. That's the harder one, isn't it? But we can have faith and trust that our God knows what's best for us. I don't want Him to give me something that's going to hurt me just because I can't see the future. Sometimes God says, wait. And for us that are impatient, that's a pretty hard one too, isn't it? We're in a now generation. Now, here's the one that we oftentimes leave out. He says, yes, but. Did your parents ever do that to you? I'm going to answer this, but in my way, in a way that's better than you could ever ask or imagine. I'm going to do you one better. It works. It works. Have you ever found your place in life? You prayed for one thing, it didn't work out, and God put you in another place, and it was the right thing to do. That's one of those yes buts. Listen to me. Prayer never works when it's about our agenda. It just wasn't designed for that. Prayer was designed to bring us closer to the Father in this childlike trust that I'm talking about. And he's still saying today, if it's me you want, I'm all in. Just ask, seek, and knock. I think there's three takeaways today. First one is to pray when no one's looking. Go into your closet. Go somewhere where you're not noticed by folks and pray. Just you and God. Nobody else watching. Pray and be with Him. Isn't that what a child does? Secondly, this may sound stupid, but pray to waste time. Just hang out with God. You know, most of our prayer time is us having our list of I wants. Come on now. Do I hear an amen? It is. It's true, isn't it? I want you to bless this one. I want you to heal this one. I want you to do this for me. I want, yeah. Endless. But God says, just come on and hang out with me. What's the plan, God? Oh, I don't have a plan. I just want to be together with you. That's what you do when you love someone, isn't it? You have no agenda. You just waste time with them. Third thing today is pray as an heir. Pray as a son or a daughter of the Father. You see, if you believe in Jesus, if you've trusted Jesus with your life, if you admitted that you're a sinner, if you committed to Him, if you said to Him, be my Lord and be my Savior, be my everything, you're a child of God. You're a part of the family of God. You're a child of the King. Amen. By grace through faith, you've been adopted. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy. And we want mercy instead of justice, don't we? And find grace to help in our time of need. God wants us all to come to Him. God would love to give you good gifts because that's what He loves to do for His children. So, today, let's make a commitment, a decision that in childlike trust, in childlike faith, I'm going to surrender to Him. From this day forward, I'm going to seek my Heavenly Father. I'm going to ask. I'm going to seek. And I'm going to knock. And I know He's going to answer my prayer when I pray God's way. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
God is so good. As Fred was delivering the message the Lord brought to him, I couldn't help but see how God was putting it all through me with leading me to the song this morning. It's Thy Will by Hillary Scott. And one of the verses is, I know you're good, but this doesn't feel good right now. I know you think of things I could never think about. It's hard to count it all joy, distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I've got to stop. Remember that you're God, and I'm not. Thy will be done. So this morning, we're going to close our service out. We're going to sing Be Still and Know. It's hymn number 630, and we're going to sing all three verses. And afterwards, we're going to come gather around the altar together. My heart is burdened this morning, and I know yours are too. Burdened for several of the people in our congregation and our family. For Fred and Diane, and the things they're going through. For George and his health. Cindy's Aunt Joy. Sherry, Morgan, and Vera. And I need my family to gather with me at this altar and lift them. And I know there's others. And when we come up, if there's someone else on your heart, you can speak their name. But we're just going to come together as a family and one, know that He is God. And two, lay our burdens down at His feet because He is able and willing to pick them up for us. So please stand with me as we sing, Be Still and Know, and then come to the altar.
Not really going to close our prayer today. Those that want to stay and remain and pray, please do so. All I'm going to do is sing, God, we're coming and we're asking. Lord, we're coming and seeking you today. And we're knocking that you might hear us. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, bring healing for those we're praying for. Lord, bring help to those in need. Lord, be with those especially May your Holy Spirit work on those people who do not know you. The lost people of our community, of our families. We all have them, Lord. People we know that do not know you as Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray that before it's too late, they will say yes to Jesus. Go with us now. Protect us, Lord. Protect us from the storms and the floods. Thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. Thank you that we can say, Our Father. We love you, Lord, and we know that you love us. And we bring our prayers, our petitions, our desires, our wants to you, Lord, and lay them at Jesus' feet. And it's His name, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask all these prayers today. And all of God's people said, Amen.